You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
What we are doing every single minute of every single hour of every single day is working to establish as much order and security outside that airfield as possible to create safe passage for all civilians, including the Afghans who work for us, to the airport to get them on planes and get them out. And we are not going to rest until we have followed through on getting visas to all of those people and getting them on planes and getting them out of the country.
Well, that sounds great. That sounds like a great plan, if you can make it work, considering what you've been doing already. This is August 23rd, 2021. That was National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan appearing on a CNN program over the weekend, saying we have a good plan. We have a good plan. We're working to contact every American in Afghanistan and get them out. Oh, and we're going to get the Afghans out that helped us as well. Now, of course, I assume... He didn't say it, but I assume they're also going to properly vet the Afghans that are coming out. Listen, this is a true case for asylum to come to the U.S. for those in Afghanistan who are facing death threats because they or members of their family worked with U.S. or allied forces for the last 20 years to get rid of the Taliban. They truly deserve asylum, but we just need to make sure that no Taliban or Al-Qaeda or ISIS operatives are mixed in with them. There's some strange stories that have been coming up already about how Taliban has infiltrated some of the Afghan forces previously just to get intel. But again, reference asylum. See, that is exactly why folks can come to this country, even if we don't have an immigration quota for them to allow them in at that point, if they can declare asylum. And of course, that's what many coming across the southern border are now doing, claiming, I'm under threat and so forth. Some might actually be, but others just have been told, make up a story. And then once you get in this country, say you witnessed a crime and they'll keep you around to report or testify later. By then, you might have forgotten what you saw. The only reason I bring up the border is because you have to keep in mind, we still have that issue going on. State-controlled media does not want to look there. They don't want to look at what's going on with Afghanistan, how bad it is when it gets down to the real nuts and bolts of it. But they are more than willing to talk about anything. Yeah, still Trump people might be doing. The Trump rally over the weekend, did you see that on state-controlled media? Not unless they were attacking Trump and specifically referenced COVID vaccinations. We got a lot to cover along that front. And Fred Flights, the CEO and president of the Center for Security Policy, is also going to join us. His recommendation to Biden, the only way you can begin to look at your in control is to fire everyone in your national security group. Because the question is, does Biden even know what he's doing at this point? Especially reference Afghanistan. We're going to get into that. FDA did approve a Pfizer drug for those 16 and older. And yet the New York Times is reporting that the Facebook conglomerate, Big Tech, buried a story about a 56-year-old healthy doctor who died after his first dose of a vaccine. First dose, and he died. Family just is perfectly healthy. Now, I'm not going to say if the vaccine had anything to do with it, but the fact that Facebook tried to bury it and stick it deeper and deeper and deeper and where you couldn't find it, that tells me something. You? And in the midst of all of this, while we're trying to decide what are we going to do about Afghanistan, because we now, whatever we end up doing and pulling out, it's going to be an open haven. And the welcome mat will be out for all terrorists to come to Afghanistan. Will we be safe? Will the world be safe as that happens? Do we need to actually consider going back in to get Americans out of Afghanistan by taking Bagram Air Force Base back by force if necessary? Oh, one other thing. Some news concerning election ballots that just disappeared. And also a strange and yet COVID-related story where the order is given to shoot the dogs in a stray facility as rescuers are coming to pick them up. I'll explain. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, smokes that lightning.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Taliban are responsible for 9/11. They didn't plan it. It's Mullah Omar wasn't Osama bin Laden, but who made it possible? Who sheltered them? Who fought by their side? Who protected them even when the U.S. Offered to do a deal with the Taliban and said, you know, we'll spare you, right? We won't come into Afghanistan. No one. The Taliban are Al-Qaeda. We're putting Al-Qaeda terrorists into power in Afghanistan, and we're about to give them the legitimacy of a state with official U.S. recognition and U.S. taxpayer money on the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Is that seriously what the United States government is doing and what Republican and Democrat leaders are allowing to happen, Trey? Seriously?
That's a very big and good question posed by Lara Logan on Fox News, as she actually appeared, I should say, on the Trey Gowdy Show over the weekend. Now, she knows of what she speaks. She has experience in that theater. And she said, we are actually going to go ahead and just allow the Taliban to take over again. And we're going to allow Al-Qaeda, which is linked directly to Taliban, take over again. And ISIS. Is this really... this really going to be our approach, especially if we move into 9/11, that we're simply going to accept the fact that, okay, I guess game called due to rain. Let's move on. Something else going? What else can we do? Oh, yes, let's check on VP Harris and her trip to Singapore. How's the shopping going? Oh, I know the official statement from the White House is we are actually working on some very important things and some international deals and arrangements and so forth. First of all, let's just accept the fact that the VP is in the Philippines and that part of the world to actually work on something regarding security for those countries. And of course, that has to be also related to our security. Well, do you really think, do you expect that what you're going to see happen is that she's going to come away with anything solid? Keep in mind, she cannot even actually deal with what we've got on our border. She doesn't know what we're doing. She has no idea what we're doing. And the question now is really, does Biden really understand what we're doing? There's a piece in the Telegraph that says, and I'm quoting, "People are simply too afraid to tell Biden and Jake Sullivan, his national security advisor, they're wrong. It's one thing to crack down on leaks, as Mr. Biden has done. It's another thing to allow a mistake like this." Now, that comes from a former defense official, apparently, who's in regular contact with senior White House aides. And he adds, "This White House is very disciplined, especially when it comes to leaks and such. But the downside of discipline is you're running things like an autocracy and you broker no dissent internally. That's not what the purpose of a White House staff is. So Biden may not really know what's going on until it happens." And, of course, remember, he insisted, "We did not expect in 11 days that the Taliban would take over Afghanistan." Well, I'm sure they didn't expect it. Of course they didn't expect it. But yet there was a report that, yeah, they were warned back in July. This could happen, and it could happen quickly. So Lara Logan, in talking to this Taliban spokesman, interviewing him, and trying her best, "Are you going to denounce Al-Qaeda? Are you going to admit that you're not going to allow Al-Qaeda to operate inside Afghanistan if you, the Taliban, are going to be in charge? Are you going to make sure ISIS doesn't rise up again like a phoenix? Are you going to make sure that all these terrorist groups don't come back into Afghanistan and use you and your country as a launching point? Are you going to do anything about that?" Here we go.
"We will not allow anyone, whether an individual or an entity, any group, to use the side of Afghanistan against the United States."
The specific question is, why will you not renounce Al-Qaeda? You never have, not from day one, not from 9/11 till now.
"We have said we condemn killing of civilians by any entity, any group, whether it is an organization, a state, or any group, to kill civilians."
Yeah, that's what they're going to explain. I mean, that's what they're going to say. "We have said." That is very much like the Biden administration or Biden himself saying, "There is no way the Taliban are going to take over Afghanistan again." Remember that? That kind of statement? That's kind of what we're getting from the Taliban. "We abhor killing anyone. We will not allow any group to come in here and do that." You have to keep in mind, just between you and me, the Taliban is doing its own killing. They don't need anybody to do the killing inside Afghanistan. They've been breaking into homes, looking for anyone who might have been linked to the U.S. or the allies during the last 20 years. And if they don't find them, they take the family. Execute them. You got a dog? We'll take that too. Execute the dog. Why is the Taliban so defensive and won't really come out and say Al-Qaeda is bad, ISIS is bad, we will not allow either one of those in our operation, we will not allow them inside our country? Why won't they make a clear, definitive statement on that? Well, again, Lara Logan, who obviously has expertise in this field and has covered this theater for some time, she knows. Here's her answer.
Well, because the head of the Haqqani network, Siraj Haqqani, is the deputy leader of the Taliban, and they are the Afghan al-Qaeda. Siraj Haqqani swore bayat, or allegiance, to Osama bin Laden. They were designated as a foreign terrorist organization by the United States government in 2012, when Obama was in power. And, in fact, when Ayman al-Zawahiri replaced Osama bin Laden as the head of al-Qaeda, he swore allegiance, or bayat, to the Islamic Emirate of the Taliban, and the Taliban's leader, Mullah Omar. So as the acting Afghan president, Amrullah Saleh, said to me in an interview, which is in this piece, he said, you know, if you drink Pepsi or you drink Coke, can you tell the difference? Really, it's still soda. And that's what you're talking about here. The Taliban are responsible for 9/11. They didn't plan it. Mullah Omar wasn't Osama bin Laden, but who made it possible? Who sheltered them? Who fought by their side? Who protected them, even when the U.S. Offered to do a deal with the Taliban and said, you know, we'll spare you, right? We won't come into Afghanistan? No one.
And see, there is a problem right there in the sense of, if that's, and I believe she's probably right, we're going to be joined a little bit later by Fred Flights, president, CEO of the Center for Security Policy. Fred, 25 years in Intel, and I'm sure he's going to back up what Laura Logan said, that the Taliban, if they did not carry out 9/11, they certainly supported it at every step of the way. So imagine these other nations, these allies that we've been using in Afghanistan. And now, of course, they're watching how Biden has absolutely botched this withdrawal. Keep in mind, apparently the commander of some of the Afghan forces didn't even know we were pulling out of Bagram Air Force Base, because we did it apparently in the dead of night. Just basically packed up and left, so the next morning he goes there and there are no Americans there. They've gone. Of course, leaving behind a lot of equipment for the Afghans to use. The Taliban now has. And now there's talk, do we need to go back in and reopen Bagram Air Force Base? That means going in a combat approach. Take it back for the Taliban and use it again to get Americans out of the country. We're going to spend more time, by the way, on getting Americans out of the country coming up in the next hour. And the general statement you still get from the White House is, well, we don't really know how many Americans are there. You have to ask, why the hell wouldn't you not know? Well, the White House has a good answer for it, or at least they say it's a good answer. And, of course, Biden has also said, it's easy to get the airport. We're getting no reports of anybody being beat up or anything along the way. That's also either a lie or totally out of touch with what reality is. So we've got a lot to cover the second hour on that point. But what about these countries that were there with us, our allies? French President Macron, during a phone call with President Biden Thursday, basically, according to the reports that are coming out, lectured President Joe Biden on the moral responsibility their two nations owe to Afghanistan. There was a readout of the call that was released by the French, and it included a pointed note on Macron's message to Biden. It read, the head of state emphasized, they're talking about the French head of state, emphasized our collective moral responsibility toward the Afghan men and women who need our protection and who share our values. We cannot abandon them. When the U.S. printed out the recall of that phone conversation between the French President Macron and President Biden, what I just read you was not included. They did not want to include it. They didn't want it in there. So they did not include it. They did not want to hear him say, we cannot abandon them, and lecture Biden on what to do. And yet Biden, of course, the other day continued to insist nothing that we're doing is costing us any relationship, long-term or short-term or future, with our allies.
I have seen no question of our credibility from our allies around the world. I've got the exact opposite thing is we're acting with dispatch. We're acting committing to what we said we would do.
But Armin Laschet, the likely successor to German Chancellor Merkel, said this is the biggest debacle that NATO has seen since its foundation. Does the president not know what's going on?
This is an incredibly emotional time for many of us, and including allies and partners who've been shoulder to shoulder with us in Afghanistan for 20 years. At high cost to themselves, as well as to us. They stood with us after 9/11, invoked Article 5 of NATO for the first time. An attack on one is an attack on all. And we've been there together. But I've got to tell you this, Chris. From the get-go, I've spent more time with our NATO partners in Brussels, virtually, from before the president made his decision to when he made his decision to every time since. We've been working very, very closely together.
Very, very closely together. Those are the words of Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Kind of backing up that, no, we're not losing allies. We're working with them. Well, you heard Chris Wallace also read a quote from Merkel saying, this is the worst situation we've had since NATO was founded. We pointed out the other day that even the state-controlled media is ending the honeymoon with Biden because it's kind of exposed them a little bit too much. They just can't constantly support the man. And there was a piece that appeared in the New York Times I got this morning. Yep, my morning slap in the face from Good Morning, Larry. The New York Times want to tell you, and I read it, and it's very interesting. And it has some real questions about Biden's argument up to now, what he's doing, and for the future. We'll do that. But when we come back, I want you to hear Lara Logan again explain Taliban and its connections to Al-Qaeda and our 9/11 attack. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Would you like to learn more about cryptocurrency, how to buy crypto merchandise? Get your answers at the first Crypto World Store, now in St. Charles. Grand opening Tuesday, August 24th, starting at 10 a.m. You got to see this store. For more information, visit firstcryptoworld.com. firstcryptoworld.com.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Taliban are responsible for 9/11. They didn't plan it. It's Mullah Omar wasn't Osama bin Laden, but who made it possible? Who sheltered them? Who fought by their side? Who protected them even when the U.S. Offered to do a deal with the Taliban and said, you know, we'll spare you, right? We won't come into Afghanistan. No one. The Taliban are Al-Qaeda. We're putting Al-Qaeda terrorists into power in Afghanistan, and we're about to give them the legitimacy of a state with official U.S. recognition and U.S. taxpayer money on the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Is that seriously what the United States government is doing and what Republican and Democrat leaders are allowing to happen, Trey? Seriously?
Seriously? I agree with Lara Logan as she appeared on Trey Gowdy's Fox program last night. As she said, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are basically one and the same. Now, I want to share with you a piece that was written in the New York Times today by David Sanger, White House National Security Correspondent. This is, again, the New York Times. It begins, had the withdrawal from Afghanistan gone as planned with a relatively orderly return of the remaining 2,500 American troops and a relatively smooth handover of the defense of the country, Biden would likely be basking in praise. But as they say in the military, the enemy also gets a vote. What the Taliban have done with a brutally effective strategy that forced the collapse of the American-backed Afghan government a year or two faster than intel assessments thought possible has forced Biden to defend his priorities. He said it's hard to get Americans to focus on a China strategy when their screens are filled with images of desperate Americans and thousands of Afghans who helped them over two decades trying to get out of Afghanistan before they're hunted down. He also adds, superpowers, which would include us with the right people in command, need to be able to walk and chew on their competitors at the same time. Of course, we've heard nothing but from Biden this, well, this is very difficult, but we're going to do it. It's happening right now. The numbers we're being told at this point, and I'm going to give you the latest I have, and it could be changing even as I speak, that they have removed, oh, this is lower than another number I've seen. They're saying 11,000 in the last 24 hours. I'll take that as the latest information. I thought I saw a number higher than that. We're not sure how many Americans are included in that 11,000, but they've been airlifted out. But the Pentagon also said today it is considering leaving American troops in Afghanistan past August 31. Apparently in consultation with President Biden and allies, Pentagon said it was considering, but then did dismiss the idea of the U.S. taking back Bagram Airfield to speed up the evacuations. That's why I raised that question earlier. Bagram Airfield is where we had all of our military might, and we're now trying to get planes in and out of the tarmac at the International Airport, civilian airport in Kabul. Now, supposedly, they got a lot more flights out. We know the German flights have been in and out, and maybe some French flights. And we also know that special ops teams, after they gotten out of there, have been, gone in on behalf of England and brought out some of their British citizens. I am sure we have some American special ops teams doing the same, but you don't want to be telling that to everyone. But I think anyone that deals with that issue has to realize it's probably going on. And I wish them Godspeed for them and the Americans they're trying to get out. And Harris finally spoke publicly, for the first time, about what's happening in Afghanistan. She was with the Singapore Prime Minister. I guess she said, okay, well, I need to take a break from shopping. I'll go visit the Singapore Prime Minister. And yet, when she was asked, can you talk to us about our decision-making reference Afghanistan? Well, she said, we have to look at what's going on. There's plenty of time to analyze, da-da, blah, 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 blah. Nothing. Did you expect anything different? Oh, right. I see your face in surprise. Fred Flights, coming up next. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace in Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota for life.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My guest we've had on numerous times before, always glad to have him. And the information he provides you is absolutely crystal clear on what he thinks and factual. President, CEO of the Center for Security Policy, had served as the Chief of Staff of the National Security Council, national security job for 25 years with the CIA, Department of State, House Intel Committees. Fred Flights, welcome aboard again, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
Well, let me begin with a question. Just before you joined us, I was stating that we're told that 11,000 have been flown out of Afghanistan, but we don't know if that includes how many Americans or if it's Afghan folks who helped us, that we want to obviously get safety. Do you believe those numbers? Do you think those are about right? Or what's your thought on it?
Larry, you raised a point to me I had not thought of. We're hearing Biden officials saying we don't know how many Americans are in Afghanistan. And you mentioned that their passports would have to be scanned at the Kabul airport. Well, when that happened, they were entered into a database that the U.S. government has access to. So you actually raise an interesting point. The U.S. government does know how many Americans are in Afghanistan. They may not know where they are, but they know how many are in the country. And I think that simply goes to show that a lot of the things we're hearing are simply not true. They do know exactly how many Americans are in the country.
Well, to that extent, folks, Fred, I had sent him a text shortly before we'd already scheduled the program, but I had a question because I watched Secretary of State Blinken over the weekend with Chris Wallace saying, we don't know how many are there because many of them maybe never registered with the embassy, and they leave the country without telling the embassy they're leaving, so we don't know. And the question I did ask Fred, as you heard him explain, that when you go in, I've never been into any foreign country where they don't see and scan your passport, and you have to show it to go back out again, and in some cases sign, you know, a slip that you're what you're taking out. So they do. You're right, then. We do know how many are in there. The question is, where are they? That I could understand.
Yeah, I'm going to be tweeting about that later, because when they leave the country, their passport would be scanned also. Now, in many countries, you do register with the embassy. See, the embassy will know where you are in case something happens. And I don't know why you would not register with the Afghan embassy when you're in Afghanistan. I mean, it's voluntary. But to say that the U.S. government doesn't know how many people are in the country, that's just not true.
I truly appreciate you clarifying that, because it just didn't make any sense to me. That's one reason I count on Fred Flights. The other thing is you have a piece in the Federalist, and I got to tell you, Fred, you're stepping out of line with the Biden administration. I just ran a quote from VP Harris a moment ago, as we've also heard previously from Blinken and Sullivan and everybody else up there. There'll be plenty of time to assess the issue. Let's focus on getting Americans out. But you start right away saying what they need to do, and the only way back to deterrence is to fire the entire national security team.
I guess I'm ruining my chances of getting a job with Joe Biden.
You're right.
But look, This was on Biden's shoulders, this terrible decision. He was told not to do this. No one thought it was a good idea to rush our troops out of the country without a plan. And the officials who told him not to do so and didn't resign, the officials who stayed silent while he was pushing this policy, they all have to go. We need to get competent men and women, national security experts, Democrats, so Biden will be comfortable with them, who have a backbone and principles, who will not tolerate more unsound decision-making by this president, who I'm afraid clearly seems to be suffering signs of senility.
Yeah, and that's I don't wish that upon anyone, but that's not what we need to be leading us, although I don't like what's next in line either to that extent. But dealing with the Secretary of State Blinken back in mid-July did get a warning that there'd be a potential catastrophe in Afghanistan. That was last month, right?
That's right. And you know, just to jump back on the point, we can't remove Biden right now. We know that. But we could surround him with people who basically are going to say, well, Mr. President, if you do that, I'm going to resign. Now, Blinken made some statements about what the situation is in Afghanistan, and he received a dissent cable from people within his department on how bad it was going to be. Yet, what did he do? Did he lay down an ultimatum to the president, you can't do this, or I'll withdraw? I tell you, I would resign if the president I was working for was trying something so foolish. These people, I think they're just along for the ride.
Well, earlier before you joined us, I was reading a piece from the Telegraph saying that people are simply too afraid to tell Biden they're wrong.
Well, they're more into their job. Sometimes you have to do the right thing, even though it may mean you'll get fired. I did that in my career. I was almost fired at the CIA because I stood up for what was right. I said they were politicizing intelligence. They tried to run me out of the place. They didn't succeed. The government's not paying you to have a comfy job. The government's paying you to do the right thing for the American people. And sometimes that may mean you have to say something, which means corrupt politicians or corrupt officials will fire you. That's what you're being paid for.
Well, I want to go through, again, folks, you're listening to Fred Flights. This is a piece he wrote for the Federalist. You can pull up and see for yourself. The only way to deterrence is firing Biden's entire national security team. I mean, when I go through the list of what you've got around him right now, you got National Security Advisor Sullivan, Secretary of Defense Austin, Chief of Staff Mark Milley, and then, of course, VP Harris. You get rid of all of them. Who the hell are you going to put around them then?
Well, they're not going to be able to get rid of the vice president.
No, but, that you're right. You're not going to get rid of her. You're right.
But, I mean, there are some good people. I think former House Majority Minority Leader Jane Harman is someone who comes to mind. Chris Coons, Senator of Delaware, is someone who I think would be a good person. And there's several others. You know, basically, people who I think have principle and real experience in national security and the gravitas to help us repair the damage that's been done to our foreign policy on the global stage.
And to that extent, folks, Fred Flights is not just saying put conservative Republicans in. You name Democrat Senator Chris Coons as one of those. And also, as you said, Harman, who's a Democrat, that they could go in and actually get a better handle on it and give not just good advice, but solid advice.
Michelle Flournoy, she's a well-known Democratic official. She worked for Obama. She was up to be Secretary of Defense. She's someone who I respect. I think she's the kind of person who could help us recover. Obviously, Biden's not going to bring in Republicans. He's not going to name Mike Pompeo to be Secretary of State.
Yeah.
But there are Democrats who have principles, who know what they're doing, who would not go along with the things that this president's tried to do. These people have to step up. Democrats in Congress have to insist that Biden put them in these positions.
Well, we also, of course, have Biden insisting, no, we have heard nothing about this is costing us allies or any concerns like that. And yet the French President Macron was having this conversation with him on the phone the other day. And the transcript released by the White House seemed to be, oh, it's a good talk. But they kept out the part that the French press then released, or the French government did, how basically they told Biden, you're totally screwing this up.
What's making this worse, Larry, it's not just that it's a bad policy, but Biden is going out and telling obvious lies about it. The British Parliament condemned Biden over this. That's not a matter of debate. That actually happened. So for Biden to say things like what you just said, he's just digging himself into a deeper and deeper hole.
When he said the other day, no one's being killed, and does a knock-knock on the wood, you know, like that'll bring me luck for it. We already knew folks are being killed by the Taliban. We don't know for sure Americans have, but we know that they're hiding in fear when the State Department issues a statement, we cannot guarantee your safety to the airport. And then they said, well, we're working with the Taliban, so what are you going to get, a Taliban Uber showing up at your door saying we'll take you to the airport?
I mean, the problem of a person who gets up and tells such a series of clearly untrue things, the American people know this, it makes me think he's losing it. He just doesn't understand what he's saying. He doesn't understand the predicament he has gotten himself and the country into.
Well, of course, you know, you're echoing what many said about Trump all the time.
Isn't that interesting? It turns out that when Trump made decisions that maybe they weren't the best, his military advisors often talked him out of them. Look, Trump talked about pulling U.S. troops out of South Korea. I think that was a terrible idea. He didn't do it because his advisor said it's not a good idea. So, you know, we're all faulting Trump for coming up with ideas and endangering our national security. He actually listened to his advisors.
Well, apparently the Pentagon is suggesting we should stay past August 31. You think he's going to follow that? And if so, what? And one quick question in the last 40 seconds as well. Should we go back in and take over Bagram Air Force Base so we can expedite getting Americans out?
It looks like we really need more time to get Americans out. I don't think that we're going to send enough force to take Bagram Air Force Base. I think that would be an enormous fight. There'd be a significant loss of lives. I suspect Biden would like to extend the deadline, but I don't think the Taliban's going to let him do it. I'm really worried, Larry, how this is going to end. How will these U.S. troops at this airport, how will they get out?
You know, Laura Logan over the weekend very quickly said, you know, the problem with Taliban is they and al-Qaeda are one and the same. They all had a part in 9/11. We're running out of time, but Fred, as always, I appreciate your insight and your advice, sir.
Good to be here. Thanks, Larry.
We'll do it again. Fred Flights, President CEO of the Center for Security Policy. There was a Trump election rally over the weekend. Did you see any coverage on that? And what about some election ballots that are still missing? If if you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really three choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, over the weekend, President Trump showed up at a rally, and of course, everybody was saying, hey, man, it looks like he's back. He's ready to run. I mean, you just sit here and listen to the guy and all the crowd and how they're responding. Did you see that on the state-controlled media? Did you see them taking any of it, even parts, if not live? Did you see them? Am I wasting my breath here? You probably didn't watch anyway, state-controlled media, but there was, by the way, CNN gave it some coverage. Yes, CNN, but wait on. You want to hear why and how and what part they chose to emphasize? I'll have that for you the next hour. Believe me, it's the same old CNN, and Jim Acosta. What can we do to destroy Trump? They are so afraid of the man. I mean, and of course, they need him. Their ratings are falling. They're going down the toilet faster than you flushing repeatedly. So they got to mention him at least. You know, gives them a little play. And, of course, anyone who thinks that there might have been some fraud or maybe this last election wasn't exactly correct, I mean, it's done. We can't fight that over and over again, but we can learn from it and make sure going forward that we don't duplicate mistakes and if they were mistakes, and make sure the next election is at least a little more credible, regardless of who wins. The Indianapolis-based Public Interest Legal Foundation took a look at how COVID-19 and the various states quickly pushed traditional in-person voters to mail ballots. Now, the Public Interest Legal Foundation describes itself as the nation's only public interest law firm dedicated wholly to election integrity, trying to assist states and others, all in the effort to support election integrity. And a former Justice Department civil rights attorney now heads it up. He said the mail-in voting, when you look at that, didn't really work out too well. But he says this H.R. 1, the For the People Act proposed in Congress, that's going to make things worse. Here's what they found. In the November 2020 election, 15 million mail-in ballots are still missing. No one knows what happens to them. Now, that was so much bigger than any previous elections. In fact, if you go back to 2012, 2014, 16, 18, and 20 and put them all together, you find a total of 43 million unaccounted for mail-in ballots. 43 million, but 15 just in this last year. They don't know where they were. They think maybe they got mailed out to an address that doesn't exist anymore and some person just threw it in the trash. Maybe it got caught in the wind and blew away. You know, maybe the dog ate it when it came through the mail slot. Who knows? All they know is that there are 15 million unknown ballots, 560,000 clearly rejected, 1.1 million that were never able to be delivered. Oh, and specifics, here's where you find some differences. In Maricopa County in Arizona, Joe Biden carried Arizona by 10,457 votes. Maricopa County, the largest county in Arizona, apparently, based on this investigation, sent ballots to 110,000, 100,000 more than the votes Biden won by, to outdated or wrong addresses. Outdated, wrong. Happened in Nevada. Biden prevailed by 34,000. 93,000 ballots got bounced in Clark County, Nevada. this group, Public Interest Legal Foundation, just saying, you got to look at the foul-ups and realize you need to do some correction. That's what they've been trying to do in various states. And here come the Democrats crying out, oh, Jim Crow laws, Jim Crow. No, we're just trying to validate, do the people live where they say they still do? We're not just going to send ballots out. Now, will you stop and think for a second now? If you go into a restaurant in New York City right now, you have to show proof that you've had a COVID test. And you have to have a picture ID to prove that you are one and the same as what's on that COVID document you're presenting. And about 70% of the black populace in New York City, ages 18 to 45, have not had a COVID test. There's your Jim Crow law. You're not going to be allowed to come in the restaurant. It's segregation all over again. Well, Larry, it's not really based on race. No. Okay, you can say what you want, but that's what it comes down to. No, we're always going to question this last election, and we should. But more importantly, we should learn from it. That's my concern. If we don't learn, then we're pretty stupid. And I don't think we are. I don't think. Coming up in the next hour, the government continues to claim it doesn't know how many Americans are in Afghanistan. You just heard Fred Flights, Center for Security Policy, say the government knows how many are there. That's coming up next hour. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.